All right, so we are starting this series called Selfie. And in many ways, it can be subtitled Death to Selfie, because we're really trying to focus on how we view ourselves, but also how God views us. So let me just put it out there that I am not here to condemn you for posting pictures of yourself, not at all. I'm not going to suggest that you get off of social media, the evils of social media. I'm not going to ask how many followers you have or if you know the proper function of a hashtag. All right, none of that. None of that. But I do think it's important to actually think about how much we think of ourselves and evaluate what we think of ourselves. Is our view of ourselves based upon what God says, what He has determined? Or is our view based on, or is our identity based on how others respond to us? How many likes we get, or comments about our outfits, or how if we impress them with our job or our car, etc. Because we as human beings, right, this is the human condition, we are prone to one of two extremes. Either we think too highly of ourselves, and as a result, we become arrogant, proud, annoying. Or, conversely, we think too lowly of ourselves, and we become negative, indifferent, insecure. In both instances, what we're doing is we're pushing God aside. Right? In the first example, we push God aside because we are God. At least that's how we think about ourselves. That's how we act, that everything revolves around us. And in the other example, when we think too lowly of ourselves, we think God doesn't care about us. We think God doesn't have the power to help us. And so therefore, we feel like we have to do it on our own. Right? Get out of the way. I'm going to take care of it. And it's really insecurity. But before we go any further, it would be kind of silly to begin a series called Selfie without showing you some selfies. All right, so I got a handful. So here's me with a bunch of my guys from a disciple-making group eating a little breakfast. This was from a trip that we as a church took to Israel. It was very fun. How can you not show pictures of selfies and not have Leo? If you haven't met this guy yet, you have something to look forward to. Amazing guy. All right, this is my daughter, Rachel. I got three girls. This is my second daughter, and she was actually serving in Nicaragua for several weeks, and I showed up one day to surprise her. And so after tears and hugs, we snapped this picture. And then I took this picture. This is Rachel's door to her room. She has a sign, I love my dad. All over her door, she has all these pictures of her friends and such. And then she has this one that says, I love my dad. Isn't that nice? But what you don't know is I actually wrote it and put it up there. I was like, hey, I got to establish myself here. I want some presents. What else we got? Here's my youngest daughter, Caitlin, and the Manu kids, Max and Ellie. And I think we got dad next. Yeah. So here's me and Bobby. We're at the Mets game. Now, what's cool about like social media and taking pictures is you can use different filters. So here's like us black and white. Here's a filter. It's all extreme. Here's a filter. You can use words. So all kinds of filters you can use. Now, wouldn't it be nice to have a filter, a God filter in our lives, right? Wouldn't that be good? That would help us see ourselves as God sees us. That would help us see other people as God sees them. Now hold that thought, because I'm going to come back to a God filter. But I want to share something that I found with you guys. I'll just call it this historical letter. Right, this was a letter that was actually written hundreds, like centuries ago. But I could not get over how much like today it sounds. So let me read this to you. It says this: people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, man, this is tough, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And I love the advice here. Have nothing to do with such people. That's some good advice, right? But this could have been an article from the Sunday paper or a blog post from this week, right? It just could have been written today. The reality is it is a historical letter written centuries ago by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And it's the letter, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in it, this is his last letter. These are his parting shot. This is parting shot to Timothy in terms of what is going to be shared. And so he pours into him. And I love the very first phrase he highlights. People will be lovers of themselves. That says a lot, doesn't it? We are consumed as a people by our love for ourselves. We are a selfie culture. But this passage is in the middle of his letter, and just to give you some context, I want to just show you a series of verses from this letter that really, it's all warnings that he's sharing to Timothy about false teachers, and you got to know what's true. So look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The Spirit is what gives us this, not our social media presence, not whether or not people turn their head and look at our home or what we drive or are impressed by us. It's God's Spirit that can give us power, that can give us confidence. Chapter 2, one of my favorite Bible verses. Paul's telling Timothy, the things you've heard me say in the presence of presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. In other words, there is a message out there that needs to be shared. It needs to be shared accurately. But it's my message. It's God's message, not the culture's message. Verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. You want approval before God. Focus on his word. Again, not what the culture says. Chapter 3, and if you're doing one of our disciple-making groups, you are memorizing this verse. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, using the God filter, the Bible is a key for us. And then chapter 4, verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight, he's telling Timothy. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. When we use this God filter, it enables us to have success. So, that sounds great, but what do we do with this? We are living in this crazy culture. How do we rise up above it? I want to give you three things. Number one, we need to fight the me message. Secondly, we need to believe the you message. And third, we need to live the we message. What? What are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. You guys ask such great questions. I love when you do that. Great job. Great job. So what do I mean by that? Fight the me message. What I mean is, it's not about me. That is where we have to get in our minds, in our heart. It's not about me. When I say believe the you message, I'm saying we need to believe who God says you are. Believe who God says you are. You got that, Preetha? The next one? Again, don't worry about what others are saying. Really zero in and focus on what God says. And then third, when I say live the we message, I mean collectively, when we do these things, we can make a difference. When we get our eyes off of ourselves and onto God, then we will be ready to serve others. So let's look at each of those. Fight the me message, right? It's not about me. What do I mean by that? Well, if you think, if I had a meter and I have self, where I focus my energy, self on one side or on others, if I focus my energy on others, you know, the meter, I just imagined I would just kind of go self and others. But when I went to self, it's very easy. When I go to other, like my arm doesn't go that way. And it's kind of like when we try to focus on other people and not ourselves, it's hard. We really have to work, to get our arm there. Because my arm's spring-loaded to go this way. We as people, our focus is spring-loaded to go on us. We just focus on ourselves. But we have to work hard to do that. You've heard the word narcissist, right? Oh, he's such a narcissist. Right? A narcissist is a person who has excessive interest in himself. Excessive interest in himself. And we get that word from, in Greek mythology, there's a character named Narcissus. Now, Narcissus was incredible looking. Everyone thought, like, oh my goodness, this guy's just beautiful, everything about him. And Narcissus knew it. In fact, as people would love him and adore him, he would just kind of cast them aside because they weren't worthy of his love. He was looking for someone as beautiful as he to have a relationship with, not these common folks, not these peons. Well, there's another Greek character called Nemesis. Ah, that's where we get that word. And Nemesis thought, I'm gonna show Narcissus a thing or two. So Nemesis leads Narcissus to this pool of water, this pool of still water. He says, go look over there and you will find someone who is beautiful like you. So Narcissus goes and looks in this calm water and sees his reflection and falls in love with himself and stares at himself on and on and on. And then he posts the images of himself. No. But he stares at himself on and on. And Greek mythology tells us he died of a broken heart because he could not have that love. We need to fight the me message. It is not about you. It is not about me. We need a God filter, but it's difficult for us to develop a God-first attitude in a me-first culture, in a me-first world. We naturally get a case of the errs. Do you know what I mean by that? We get the errs. Like we see someone who's smart, and we want to be smarter than that person. Or we see someone who's strong. We want to be stronger than that person. Or we see this family that's rich, and we want to be richer than this family. Or somebody that's happy, we want to be happier. Right? It's this constant battle. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy, with wanting to be wealthy, rich, smart, etc. There's nothing wrong with that. The question is, what do we do with that? Why are we pursuing strength or wisdom or money? Are we pursuing it so that we can be better equipped to serve God? Do we want to be stronger physically so that we have more energy to serve God? Do we want to be wealthier so that we can sponsor more children? We can help people in need? We can help fund a well in a country, in a developing nation that needs clean drinking water? Or are we doing those things so that people look at and praise us? That's the question. What is our motive? And our default is to think about ourselves. We have to fight the me message and focus on others. But here's, what's crazy is when we really think about what Jesus says, and grant, I know that not everybody here has really bought into following Jesus. Some of you are here just for friends or family. But for those of us who's like, I want to follow Jesus, do we know what he really says? Because he said, if anyone who wants to be my disciple, anyone who wants to follow me must deny himself. And he says, anybody who wants to be first must be last. The last will be first. So why are we striving to win here when Jesus is saying, you're just going to end up last in the end? We need to be other people, work hard, and not always default to ourselves. The reality, though, and this is just me being autobiographical here, confessing, the reason I'm selfish, and my guess is some of you may be as well, is because either I'm afraid or I don't believe that God will actually provide. Right? I'm intimidated, I'm afraid, so I feel like I gotta, like, you know, really step up and, you know, be authoritative or do something to focus the attention on me. Or I'm like, man, you know, God's not providing, so I'm going to take control, move out of the way, and I'm going to do this because God's not going to provide. It's just showing that I'm insecure. It's showing that I'm not trusting God. So what do? Fight the me message, but we've got to believe the you message, or believe who God says you are. I want to show you a series of verses. And look at what God does for us in Christ. John 1:12 says, I am God's child. That's a big deal. I don't want you to just skip over that. If you've asked Jesus to be the leader of your life, we are not just God's children, like, oh, look at all these kids that God has. We are God's adopted children. He's adopted us into his family. Now, if you have been adopted, or you've adopted a child, or you've considered adoption, you know it doesn't just happen. It takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of money. It's a process. God went through that process for us to be his children. He has invested in us. It's a big deal that we are God's child. That's how God sees you. John 15, I love this. We are Christ's friends. In this chapter, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. We are Christ's friends. Colossians chapter 2, we are complete in Christ. Even if we don't get the social media likes, we don't get the head nods from people, we are still complete in Christ because of what he has done for us. Ephesians 2, verse 18, we have direct access to God. Again, this is a big deal. It means you and I, at any point, at any moment, even while I'm speaking, I can be praying to God. We can do that. You can do that directly to God. You don't have to go through someone. I think an example of that is if you and I are having a meeting, if we're having a conversation, and my phone rings, I'm not going to answer the call because I'm having a conversation with you. We're having a meeting. Unless that phone call is from my wife or one of my three daughters. Then I'm going to say, excuse me for 1 second. Let me just check in. I just want to make sure everything's good. You know, everything good? Okay, I'll call you back because I'm in a meeting or whatever. They have direct access to me. We have that with God. Don't think, oh, God's too busy. He doesn't care. You have direct access to God. Romans 8 says that we are free from condemnation. You know, if you or I don't produce at work, we're disciplined. Right? If you fail a test as a student, you may fail a class. If you don't have a healthy social media following, people will reject you. But this doesn't happen from God. Regardless of what we're thinking, or how we're acting, we still have a relationship with God. God may want us to change some things that we're doing, but he is not condemning us. And this last one, Romans 8, 35 to 39, basically, we are never separated from God's love. This verse, just write this verse down, this reference, Romans 8, 35 to 39, because I want you to look it up. It is so good. I was going to read it, but I'm like, nah, I want you guys to look it up. Trust me on this one. But spoiler alert, in terms of what separates us from God's love, nothing. Nothing. But read through this list because it's very cool. So, what do these verses mean? Okay, so we have these things. Well, it really means three things. First, it means I am accepted. I am accepted by God. That's how God sees me with all these things. I'm accepted. Secondly, I am secure. I no longer have to rely on another person's response to have confidence because I'm getting it from God because of what he thinks about me. And finally, because of how God feels about me, I am significant. I have value. I have worth. And the same is true for each of you as you surrender to God. You have been accepted. You can be secure. You have significance, not based on what other people think about you, but based on what God does. And since we were talking about selfies and social media, I think we should celebrate. So here's like, you know, a little emoji celebration. It could look like this. It could look like this. It could look like this. Right? This is a big deal. We should celebrate. All right, so we want to fight the me message. We need to believe the you message. And then here's the last thing. Live the we message. In other words, we can make a difference when we get our eyes off of ourselves and seek to serve others. We can make a difference. Now, I want to, in just a few minutes, the band is going to play a song connected to this. But I want to give you some things to think about as the song's being played. Here are some spiritual practices that you can do in order to grow in these areas, in order to fight the me message and believe the you message. Three things: service, silence, and meditation. By service, I mean, do you have a place where you're serving here at church, where you're not thinking about yourself, where you're actively serving someone else? Do you have a spirit of service in your home? When you see something that is messy, it needs to be cleaned up, do you look the other way thinking, he'll do it, she'll do it, they'll do it? Or do you have a desire to say, you know what, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to make a choice and do this and clean this. By silence, I don't mean necessarily not saying anything, although that is good just to take time to listen to what God is saying. But by silence, I mean bite your tongue. When you're in a conversation with other people, let them talk. Don't say anything. Listen. Be an active listener. Ask them a follow-up question. When they tell you about all their woes and, oh, this is happening, that's happening, our default, right, says, well, let me tell you what's happening with me. Don't do that. Just listen. Hear what they're having to say. And then by meditation, I gave you a series of verses, and if you didn't write them down or something, you know, email me and I'll send you the list. Text me, I'll send you the list. I would say pick one and memorize it. By doing that, that forces you to think about what God says all day, because it's not easy to memorize a verse. And if you're like, oh, I can't memorize anything, yes, you can. You know all kinds of stats and figures and all of this and that. It's in your head. You can memorize a verse. When you think about something all day, it helps you to stay focused on God. That's one of the benefits or blessings of Bible memory. So listen to the words of this song that these guys are singing, and how, where is our confidence coming? Is it coming from the world, or is it coming from God, and what do we do with it? Listen to this.
All I want is to be close. My heart explodes with love for your name. And all I want is to be close. My heart explodes with love. Jesus, you save me. So I'll rise up and praise you, my King. Jesus, you saved me. So I'll rise up and praise you, my King.
Culture of celebrity has replaced a culture of character, and we need to fight that. We need to resist that. We need to pursue character, not celebrity. Celebrity doesn't necessarily mean that everyone will know your name, but the desire within us for everyone to know our name. It doesn't mean we don't want to be a part of something. It means we want more attention. That's why service is so good. There was someone in our church, I won't tell you his name. He was serving in this one area that was kind of challenging. I'm like, sure you want to do that? He said, no, I definitely want to do that because it helps me stay humble. I'm like, wow, that's a great attitude. That's why silence is so good. When we focus on another person and not just what we're thinking in our minds, like hurry up and stop talking so I can say this. You got to fight that. You got to fight that. And just listen. Just listen. I'm now 50, and it's harder for me to remember what I want to say. It's like I want to think so I don't forget, but I'm just trusting God. God, I'm just going to listen now. And sometimes when it's my turn to talk, I've forgotten what I was going to say. And I feel kind of silly, but at least the person feels listened to. And then the idea of meditation. God's word is key. Focus on a verse. And here's the challenge. You may think, you know, that's a good idea. I want to memorize a verse. Here's the challenge. On your card, write down the verse you want to memorize. Or if you don't know yet, text me this week. Because next week, when I see you all, I will ask you, let me hear the verse. Let me hear that. Accountability, that's good. That's good stuff, right? And listen, again, I'm not saying never be on social media. It's evil. No, it's fun. And we connect with one another and we learn about what other people are doing. But if you're active, let me encourage you to do this. Post pictures of yourself where you don't look perfect. Instead of taking the 20 pictures to find the one, one shot. Take one shot and then put it up, regardless. Don't always celebrate how everything great is. Post a prayer request. Hey, my day really is rotten today. Would you pray for this? Or I blew it today at work. I failed a test. Would you pray that I, you know, do better? So, you know, just be real. How about don't be negative in your replies when somebody is saying something? You're like, oh yeah, well, da 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 da. No, just don't say anything. Or encourage them in some way. And the same way, don't try to prove your point. If you post something, what you believe, and somebody attacks you, oh, you want to just get them back, right? Instead, just say, hey, thanks for your comment. There's a professor I had in my life who has a big social media presence, so a lot of people love him, and as a result, a lot of people hate him. And so he makes it a practice when one of the haters says something, he just writes back, you know, you may be right. In his mind, he's thinking, you're not. But you may be right. I'm going to be open to that. So let's think about that. Fight the me message. Believe the you message, what God says. And then we can live the we message. I want to close in prayer. And some of you may need to say, you know what? I never really understood what God thinks about me, how he feels about me. Maybe you've never really surrendered your life to God. I'm going to pray a prayer towards that end. Or maybe, you know, many of us who are Jesus followers, we just kind of default to ourselves and it's hard to think about others. So this is the day we're going to work hard this week to think about others. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us an opportunity to be part of your family. And God, there may be some here who want to be adopted as your child. Folks, if that's you, pray a prayer like this. God, here I am. I surrender my life to you. I confess that I can't do it on my own. I blow it time and time again. Will you forgive my sins? Give me the strength and ability to follow you. This is my prayer. And for those of you who just want to get yourself reconnected with God this week and have a God filter, pray a prayer like this. God, I love myself. I admit it. And I want to put that energy towards myself, towards you, and towards others. Help me to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.